Blog Talk Radio.
Do you have an idea? A dream? One that you are so passionate about but have no clue on how to manifest it? Then sit back, relax, and welcome to Love, Light, and Passion. Here, award-winning social media professional Wendy Manganiello and guests talk about taking that passionate idea and making it an abundant reality. This show is dedicated to the loving memory of Sean Stevenson, whose instinctive ability to motivate others taught Wendy to take a dream and allow the universe to make it into an abundant reality. Wendy is the founder of Social Abundance Marketing. They partner with you and strategically deliver your unique business content onto social media platforms, thus helping you engage and develop your business relationships. After all, making social media abundantly clear is their goal. And now your host, Wendy Manganiello.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 21. I cannot believe it. It's a very good number, 21. So I'm really excited to be here for another Light and Passion. And this week, as always, we have a very special guest. Her name is Catherine Nyans, and she is from the Sean Stevenson fan club too. We are in the private Facebook group, as I always talk about, the one that has really extended and helped everybody kind of keep in touch with each other that Sean knew. And I'm really excited because Catherine she recently worked with the Women Living Consciously book. Then we had you can go back and listen to the show, Diane Mativier, on who had also written in that book. But what we're going to talk about today, which I have to say that I've looked up, but I really don't know about, which I'm really excited to find out about from Catherine, is the emotion code, the body code. And then we're also going to call it power of neuroplasticity. And I think I said that word right. I've been practicing it since yesterday. It's a very long word. But right now, we're going to find out and say hello to Catherine. Hi, Catherine. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, Wendy. Hello, everyone. I'm really grateful to be here to share with you.
I'm really excited that you're on air. And this is like, and we were talking a little bit pre-show. The fascinating part of what I get to do is, because everybody has different passions, it all kind of goes on the theme of the show, but I get to learn about all sorts of different stuff. And this particular topic that you're talking about is new to me. So I'm really fascinated to learn about it and to have my listeners learn about it, because it sounds, from the little I've read up on it, is that it's really helpful and it kind of can change the way you think, live, and do things. So I'm really excited. So we're going to get started, though, because let's start at the beginning. You didn't always do this. You were a teacher and a school counselor for a very long time. So how did you go from being a teacher for years and years and years, and what made you switch kind of gears to look and do things differently with the emotion code, body code?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Lots. When I was a teacher in a school counselor, elementary level, and to tell you the truth, I was so passionate with that work. But by my 25th year, I think it's because I was so sensitive, I was just burned out and it was not fun anymore. So finally in November, I'm very connected to the angels. I said, angels, I need a clear sign that I need to do something else. The next day in the mail, I received a free sample of an angel tarot card, and it said surrender. I thought, wow, it is not going to get more clear than that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was like amazing. So I finished off the year, which was good because I could buy out 5 years early retirement. And then I got really scared because I was teacher counselor my whole life. I had no idea what I was going to do. And I did move into fear. And my sister, God bless her, she gave me a bracelet that said trust. So what happened was, a few months later, I read an article in the paper about a gal that did hypnosis. And she was an artist, and she felt blocked creatively. So part of me thought, well, I'm going to write books for kids. And so I decided to go to this woman to see if I had any blocks to writing. Well, after the session, she said, I'm teaching people to do hypnosis. Why don't you join us? Well, I had goosebumps up and down my spine. That is my yes. And then I had actually taken a class in self-mastery. And in this class, because I had no idea what I was going to do, she had us write down the qualities of our ideal job. So the first word that came to my mind was visionary. I thought, okay, I'll write that down. And then I wanted my work to be my play. I was so tired of working so hard in the schools. And then I wanted flexible hours. I wanted it to be enhancing for myself and other people. And I wanted it to bring me joy and abundance. So the truth is, I just put that out to the universe after the class. And that's how I ended up, you know, taking the hypnosis class and learning that. That's how it began, and then other modalities were added on.
So that's really interesting. I love that story because it's all about, like, divine intervention of the angel. And so I hear that, and I think of Shawn. She's the one person that I know always. No matter what she said to me, I'm like, no, that's not surprised that happened in your life, Shawn. Of course that happened in your life. Like, and so I hear that, what your story, and I go, of course that happened. Of course that card showed up the next day. Of course.
And the
thing about that, too, is that there's a real, because I think when people make changes like that, some people think that the fear is going to go away, that it's automatically removed. But the reality is that we're still human, so it's also good to hear part of your story to say, yes, there was some fear still there, except you kept moving forward. Even though,
well, absolutely. And the truth is, one day I was listening to Wayne Dyer on a cassette tape as I was driving to meet a girlfriend for breakfast during the winter. And part of me is listening to Wayne Dyer. The other part of me was into the ego. Oh, Catherine, you'll never find another job. This is what you've done your whole life. You're not going to have a paycheck. The ego was so strong. And the last thing I heard Wayne Dyer say was, your thoughts create your reality, and I hit the car in front of me. Because I was in low vibration. I was into that fear. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so what I heard the universe tell me, I have to learn to mind my mind, because my ego was in charge at that point.
It's not easy to go from one to the other. Once you get it, you get it. But there's a process, and hitting a car is quite the story.
Well, the interesting thing was her car was not damaged at all.
Oh,
and what
God.
I heard was, we didn't have to damage her car because you feel enough guilt. Just mind your mind.
That's really funny. I mean, that's really like that facepalm, like, yeah, this is right here. You can't get any more a kind of hit or a wreck of going, this is what you're supposed to do. Wow, that's amazing. So explain to our listeners what the emotion code, body code is.
That is so powerful, and I want to share how I got involved in it, because quite a few years ago, I was on Match.com, and there was a man I was interested in that was not interested in me. I honestly didn't think anything about it, because I know my life is divine order,
mm-hmm.
but that very day, I went to my chiropractor. And this is the only time he's ever asked me. He goes, Catherine, let's see if you have any trapped emotions. And rejection showed up. I thought, oh, my goodness. So even though in my mind I didn't feel rejected, my heart took it in. And then I said, I've got to learn emotion code, body code.
And that's really funny that it came from. I wonder what would happen if you were.
So what the emotion code, body code is actually a computer program. Dr. Nelson is so in touch with his own spirituality, that I know he was guided to create this. But what it is, it's a system of mind maps. It's cutting edge. What I do is I get in touch with my clients because they're sitting right next to me in front of this mind map. I can also do it on the phone with people, though, because I just get in touch with their energy. And, of course, we know we don't do the work. Spirit comes through us. But then what happens is I ask the wise mind, I call it the wise mind because it's the God connection part of us, what's the priority for this person today? Where do we start to find trapped emotions? And generally, of course, people have, you know, idea why they're coming. Let's say they just feel stuck. They can't move forward. So with the emotion code, body code, then I get in touch with their energy, and I actually use my pendulum, which I've used like 30 years, so I really trust it. And then I'll ask their wise mind, what's the priority? And it actually always starts with trapped emotions, emotions that we stuff, and we don't even know that we have, but these emotions are holding us back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of times it's actually called psychic trauma. And psychic trauma is when two emotions get trapped at the same time, because now we know that everything is energy, even behind illnesses. It's just trapped energy. So I'm able to find out what the energy is and then release it for that client very easily and efficiently. A lot of things come up even under mental. It's like things that we say to ourselves. It's, you know, we have negative self-talk. That will come up. And one thing that comes up for everyone is to put the past behind them, because it's hard to move forward if that past is right in front of us. So we need to let it go and put it behind us. That comes up for everyone. And overwhelm comes up for all of us, too.
Well, and so when you do this, now, do you go, is it based right then and there how they're feeling, or is it more in, is it all like interconnected energy that they're holding from a long time, or is it new that they've mixed in?
Good question, Wendy. Yeah. Sometimes it is old stuff. Like, I was working with this big man sitting next to me, and sometimes when I'm doing it, I'm told to ask the age, like how old was this person when this energy got trapped? Well, this man next to me, it kept going to age six. I turned to him and I said, what happened to you at age six? And he looked at me and he said, I went to Catholic school and I was afraid of the nuns.
Oh.
So a lot of his stuff was back there, you know, shame and guilt and all those emotions that we all have. So it's just so interesting. And then, of course, you know, we release those, and people that are really in touch with energy, they can feel it. Everybody leaves feeling lighter. But when people are in touch with energy, it's even more fun because they go, ooh, that was a big one. It's like they can feel the releases. And I even get goosebumps. It's a big one. But one mm-hmm. of my clients, I remember she came in for weight. And one of the first emotions that showed up were shame. And it said, okay, find out what age this got trapped. It was actually age 4. And she said, I know exactly what happened. She said her mom had remarried, and she said, I think even my mom was afraid of my new dad. And she handed her a sandwich, and she said, now don't show your dad that I'm giving you this sandwich. So there was her shame at age 4, and she remembered it.
Wow. That's great. So when you do this work, is it, I take it it's a process, but is there... Like, I know for most people, like, they work on something. It's like layers of an onion, you know, where you work on something, and then you might get tripped up again, and then you come back again. So what does that look like for the process of going through this? Is this something that you do in layers and there's different things, or is it once it's gone, and there's just more of like a self-redirection? So how does that work?
Yeah, that's a really good question again, Wendy, because generally we ask for 3 sessions because, mm-hmm. I mean, 1 session, they notice a difference, but we
right.
have so many layers. And what I do is I can ask the subconscious mind, how many sessions will they need? And the interesting thing is I ask, how much time will it take to integrate the work that we just did? Now, some people are fast. They can come back in a week. Yesterday I worked with a woman and it said 2.5 weeks, but we released so much. Mm-hmm. And I always ask the subconscious mind, is it for their highest and greatest good to continue? Because before I was asking that, one lady was angry for 2 days, and another lady cried for 2 days because I was doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I called and apologized to them when I said, oh, my gosh, I should have been asking, you know, if it's for your highest good to continue. But they were done. They didn't care.
Right, right. So, and so that, yeah, because that's the thing is once you bring all of this to the surface, there is that, that part of that that you're like, because I've done a little work, a little bit different, and you walk away and you're like, okay, and it stays with you, and you need to, you know, but it, there's also that release that you go, okay, that's gone. You feel good about it, but it's a strange thing when you're going through it on the other side for the next day or two. You're like, okay, because it's almost like you're missing a friend, but not really missing them.
No, Wendy, I am so glad you said that, because before I even start with people, I use kinesiology to ask the body if all parts of them are willing to change, are mm-hmm. all parts of you deserving to change, and are all parts of you feeling safe to change. And we're not, because we have the child, the teen, and the adult. So oftentimes, the adults, yes, 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 but the child or the teenage, you know, if they've been hurt a lot, like most of us have been, they're not ready to change. It's a lot of it is not feeling safe. So the first thing I do is to bring all parts into alignment.
Right, and that's a big, big thing. So that brings me to another question then, though, because, you know, there's two – how do people – let me ask it this way. How do people know, you know – a lot of people say that they're ready for a change or they're going to, you know, they want to do that. So what do you think is the thing, the catalyst that says, no, really, I want to change. I want to be able to go through this work. I want to be, because there's a lot of people who want to change and then, but they're so set in the comfortability of not changing because it's the only thing they know. So what do you think is the catalyst to say, okay, yes, let's move this forward. I don't want to do this anymore.
You know, I really feel it's the divine part of them that brings them to me, because I ask God, just send me the people that I can best serve. So I think people get to the point where I don't know what to do. Actually, most people come to me through hypnosis, but I always ask the body, and except for one person, we always start with emotion code, body code, because we need to find out what's underneath it. Why? Do they have this particular issue? Why are they feeling stuck? And we release what's underneath it. When I started this work, I asked my body, and I was surprised to find out I had fear of success, I had fear of change, and fear of failure. And none of it was conscious, Wendy. It was all under my unconscious mind.
And when you went through it, what was the thing that said, okay, yeah, I'm really ready to release that? Because, you know, you go through it, and like you said, it, like I said, it's like kind of like you're missing a friend for a second. So when did you realize that not only did you need to go through it, but you needed to really release and that your body was really ready to release all of that?
I think it's because I hear spirit, and I was just told, check your body mm-hmm. for this. And I was like astounded. I thought, I had no idea I had those fears. But again, we live out of all the beliefs in the subconscious mind. So they were there. I didn't know they were there until I was told to ask.
Mm-hmm. And it is amazing because you don't realize, and I think there is many people go, my husband has a saying that he says we walk around believing we're awake when we're really asleep. And I think that there's something to that, because we walk around in our daily activities like we're going and we're doing things, and there is that level of subconscious that's really kind of asleep in our activities, and it's keeping us asleep to not move or not go to the next level. So I think that's very key, but if you don't know to ask, you don't know to ask, and that's why there's people like you out in the world to help people get there.
I love that he even asks that question. Most people don't realize to even ask that.
Yeah,
but we live in an illusion. We think, like, my core issue was, I'm not good enough. And I know it's because I was raised Catholic and I was trying so hard to be perfect so God would love me. That was my core issue. I'm not good enough. Well, now I know that I am good enough and I'm a powerful soul. But we have to release all the stuff underneath us that it's our programming. And our programming comes from, actually, it can come four ways. Our programming can come from how we are raised, from parents, from our teachers. Our programming then comes from ourself, because then we take those same thoughts, that same programming, and then we start telling ourselves the same information. But I also know that sometimes, and it shows up on the emotion code, body code, that it's in the DNA. So, for instance, I had one man come to me. His wife brought him and said he has so much anger in him. And when I went to the emotion code, body code, oh my gosh, so much of it was in the DNA. So he received it from his dad, grandparents, and so on. And we don't realize that we carry that. But the interesting thing is, according to Dr. Nelson, once we release it from the DNA, we're releasing it from the whole pattern. That means people in front of us, our kids, and the whole DNA relatives that went before us. It's amazing. And so we looked at him, we go, wow, you're a hero. You're releasing all this anger from the DNA. Pretty amazing.
So when that happens, and that's an interesting thing, because, you know, if you look at the straight psychology work, or if you go back to that kind of theory about, you know, when we talk about children and patterns, I think as a society we have done a better job with breaking the patterns our parents had of the thinking of children and how we raise them. I do think on a whole we do. But that's a clear indicator. So it makes me wonder if you could go back in history, in your own history, and you had this work, what would you have done differently, even with your own kid, you know, with the kids that you taught and the school counselor? Because this is, you know, we still see public schools and their, you know, teachers are overworked and they're trying to do many things with many different types of children from all different situations. So what would have changed, I guess, for you if you knew what you knew now then, I guess?
Well, I think one of the main thing is something I didn't realize, and that when I stood in front of my class, when I was in, let's say, negativity, like, oh, I didn't really want to come to school today, they actually pick up on my energy. And I've done groups where we actually check this out. So let's say in a group, I would have everybody in the group focus negative energy on the speaker. And then when I muscle test this negative energy, because we're all connected, and then the opposite is true. Okay, focus absolute love, and then we're all strong. We care, and here as a teacher, I mean, on days that I was not my best, it's like they can pick that up at a subconscious level because I was giving out that energy. Even though I was trying to do my best, we all have days where we're not our full self. But, wow, we're such vibrational beings that we don't realize how our energy actually interacts with others. And I was the teacher.
And that's an interesting thing, and I think that's a it's funny because we run a nonprofit here, and I tell you that you can tell in the air the energy when you walk in the room of who's there and who's there just to be there and who's there to really be involved, and the heaviness of what we do. So it's a kind of an interesting thing that you say that, and the children, I do believe wholeheartedly, pick up on our energy when we're with them, because, you know, when children start to act out and do, it's usually because they're picking up on the energy of what's going on around them, and I really do truly believe that. So that's fascinating, and that you know that. So what would be your advice to any teachers that listen about how they can, you know, because it's sometimes a very difficult job to do, to keeping that energy up when they're still dealing with administration and, you know, testing and all of the stuff that goes with teaching today. What would be some of your tips to say, I know this is all going on, but we need to be able to break that cycle for them and keep it in a positive, loving way.
That's absolutely true, Wendy. My goodness, I mean, I retired back in 98, and teaching is even much more of a struggle now than it was then because of the testing and all the responsibilities. What I know is that to keep our own vibrational energy high is we have to be in the heart. And we can constantly, this is what I would have done if I would have known better, I would fill that heart love and just fill my heart with beautiful pink loving energy, and I would send it to the kids. And if I was working one-on-one, I would just direct that right to each child. Because when you're in the energy of love, that's a high vibration.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. And the other thing is to look outside or to have plants inside, because when you have plants or any form of nature, it's automatically high vibration. So that brought into the room is going to help the energy of the room just by having plants and looking outside at nature and taking long, slow, deep breaths. I remember when I was a school counselor, I actually put a sign on my door that said, "Breathe, Catherine," because you get so intense and so busy that it's important just to take the breath that brings you back into your body. I think a lot of times we're not even in our body.
And I agree with you, because and the breathing thing is it's amazing what happens when you become stressed and you stop breathing. It's like the most important thing to do, and you can almost feel yourself go, okay, that's not important, and go to something else.
Yes.
It's crazy that we do that. Some days I think that we are harder on ourselves so much than we need to be. So my next question to you is, when people are doing this, do they have what's your favorite thing that you see them go through? What's the biggest, you know, is it feeling the energy? Is it a week later when they realize that it's really gone? What is that pivotal moment they go, oh my goodness, this worked?
Well, I do. I mean, I get emails from people that say this is life changing. Because we're releasing things that are blocking their energy, because we know everything is energy. And so when we have a lot of trapped emotions, it's actually the trapped emotions that lead to physical issues. So even if someone comes in with a physical issue, it always goes back to something emotional first. And then there are so many things on that map minding. There's even things like disconnections, like...
Mm-hmm.
Spirit's not fully connected to our physical body, or a physical body's not fully connected to spirit, or it's a spirit-to-spirit disconnection, which means it's a heart. Our heart is broken. As a matter of fact, they say that 94% of us have a heart wall, and it's a wall that we actually have created for protection because we were hurt as kids, or, you know, even older. And interestingly enough, when I asked myself if I had a heart wall, my body said no. And I'm like, good job, Catherine. But then, if your body says no, you ask, do I have a hidden heart wall? It's hidden because it doesn't even want to be found. I had a hidden one. But once you ask the question and it's found, it can't hide anymore. Most of my clients, oh, yeah, I have a heart wall. There's probably only been 12 in all the years that I've been doing this that had the hidden heart wall, they just, we don't want to be found.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
once I've released the heart wall from at least four of my clients, they were able to find love.
Mm.
Because they didn't have to protect.
And I guess that is really cool, no matter how old we are, can go into that flight or fight mode rationally because of our instincts. And so that would make sense that it's hard to find because there's this protective covering that you think that you have to have, that not necessarily, you know, need to have, but think that you have to have. So, and in cases like that, so when you're dealing, and this kind of goes back to the children's question, but then let's bring this to a broader perspective, because, you know, we all have those people who we are near and they're just overly negative. Like you can just literally feel the negativity coming off of them. How, when you're going through this process, do you suggest, I mean, I get the love, but some people that, you know, family members or coworkers or that you have to deal with, how, what's been your experience with your clients saying, okay, now that I'm dealing with it this way through doing this work, it has changed for me so that they don't bog me down like they used to, because negative energy loves to feed off of negative energy. So what's your advice for people, or what's your experience with that?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, the other thing that shows up under the emotion code, body code, it's called cording. So in other words, we're attached to other people by cords, people that we're in close relationship to. And so if cording comes up, it means we can't see these cords. Well, people that are visual, I only hear. I don't see cords. But I'll tell you, I had a client that came to me, and she said years ago she was taking a class on crystals. This man came up to her and said, "Lady, you have so many cords from you, you're stepping on them." Wow, she freaked out, which I would have too. So she went on the internet and she found a lady that removed these cords. So I said, did she? Oh, and she said that this person actually came in to help heal other people. And I said, Michelle, did she also tell you that you do not have to take on people's cords?
Mm-hmm.
So we made, you know, a new discussion about that. But the thing is, when cords come up, you know, on the emotion code, body code, I call in Archangel Michael to release all the cords that are no longer for their highest and their greatest good. And then these cords are removed. Because whenever we're in relationship with people, cords are automatically attached. And then I never ask how many. I don't ask who they belong to. They're just released.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's amazing, because, and I know that some women suffer more than others, in particular, and men, that they have those things. And so to be able to release them and watching somebody be able to do that for the first time is pretty amazing too.
Well, I want to tell you the other part of the story, because when you mentioned about people being triggered, I think you used the word triggered mm-hmm. by other people. What I've learned is that when we're triggered by somebody, it means it's not healed in us.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I was in a relationship with a man that was bipolar. So when he was good, he was very good. But when he was bad,
mm-hmm.
I am so sensitive, it was like, oh, I'm trying to think. It's just like my body just pained. And so I finally realized, oh, my gosh, he is showing me I have anger, because I had no idea I had anger. I was a good Catholic girl, right? And it got buried. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's my teacher. And so then I told him, when he got into that negativity, I'm going to throw marshmallows at him. And then I realized it was time to learn, or time to leave, because I already got my lesson from him.
Well, and you know what's so funny? Because you say, here's my little thing. Cause I wasn't raised Catholic. I was raised Greek Orthodox old calendar. So my response to life was, which is really funny, and I've done a lot of work with this, was that I was the absolute rebel. I was not the good Greek Orthodox kid. I was the rebel of, because it didn't matter because it wasn't going to work out anyway for me because you had to be so perfect. So I was the opposite of the, but it takes a lot of, in my case, it has taken a lot of looking at that and realizing when these things come up, what is programming and what I can let go of, and I've done various work on from that. But it's amazing to me what we get put into us, you know, by others or outside circumstances that we carry for so long, that we carry into relationships and say, okay, we've learned that lesson and now we can move on. But it's fascinating when I see people and you can see it in them and they can't. But I think that's why it's so important to work with other people, is because we can't always see it and somebody else can pick it up like that.
Yeah, and one of my favorite spiritual teachers, his name is Matt Kahn. Matt Kahn says to always say, all is well. Nothing happens to us. Everything happens for us. So, for instance, how would I know I had anger if this man did not come into my life to show me I had it? That's why everything is a soul lesson. That's why I think it's so important not to get hard on ourselves and be upset with ourselves, because we're just learning. Everything is just an experience.
I think that I like that. Who said that? Say that name again. I like that.
Matt Kahn, K-A-H-N. He's on
him.
Quite a few different interviews, and he's also on YouTube. He's one of those people that had a couple near-death experiences, and then he came back to us as a teacher.
That's
a real gentle soul.
So, and what we're going to switch gears a little, because we have about 20 minutes left that I want to talk to you about, because I'm fascinated by this, is that you've gotten a new certificate, and it's in neuroplasticity, which, look, I've practiced for 2 days. It's getting even better. I can roll it off my tongue now. But so what is that all about? For our listeners who have no clue what is that, and how does that work in your body, your emotion code, body code, or work with, I should say?
Well, again, it was one of these divine order things that I got involved in that. But I met Dr. Shad Helmstetter. He is the author of the book, Neuroplasticity, the power of neuroplasticity, which what it means is that we can now rewire our brain. So all those issues that we grew up with, not good enough, I don't feel empowered, I don't have good self-esteem, I don't have confidence, these are programs, again, that we picked up. Actually, the moment we're born, we start picking up programs from our parents, things that we see, things that we hear, things that we hear them say. These all become programs in the subconscious mind. And then, not if you just hear things once, but our brains actually get wired with the programs we hear the most. I had two clients, both men, that came to me saying, when I grew up, my dad said I would amount to nothing. Well, one of them really didn't feel successful. The other man was very successful. He made hundreds of thousands of dollars, but he was not happy and he was burned out. But he said, I proved to my dad I could do it. So we're wired with these. So actually our wiring determines if we're going to be success, if we're going to be a failure, or something in between. So when he came out to share the book, The Power of Neuroplasticity, now we realize that even if we picked up these programs as kids, we can change them. And how we change them is actually through new programs, repetition, repetition, repetition. And I actually have all the programs. I listen to them at night. I bought myself, a pillow activator, so on. I put my iPod on that. It's a pillow speaker. And all night long I hear stuff about self-esteem, being in charge of yourself, so it's powerful because it's in my sleep. I do it when I'm sleeping.
So, and so this is an interesting topic because they usually, when I think of this, I think about like people who have, I think this is what goes on, I believe, when people are told things like, you'll never walk again, you'll never, I feel like there's something in some of the people who go, no, I'm going to be every single odd, and they're so determined to be there. But I think it has to do with what you're talking about is because they're reteaching their brain cells essentially to do everything all over again because they're going to not allow something to happen to them, not allow, you know, what the doctors say. Or, am I off with that? Because that's what
you are right, because what we tell ourselves over and over, it becomes true for us. That's why we have what we call a self-talk library. And, for instance, like my link is selftalk.tips. And in that library, he sells all of these programs for us to listen to. I want to address how he got started in this. When he was younger, Dr. Helmstetter said he was overweight, he would lose the weight, gain it back. Constantly, and he was so frustrated. And then he realized that the trainers of people that are in the Olympics, they're training the brain. So he went to a recording studio and he recorded information for himself about weight loss. And he said, this was on a cassette tape. This is how long ago it was. He played those cassette tapes while he shaved in the morning. He said probably 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then after 10 and a half weeks, he lost 38 pounds. And his wife, who was listening to it in the background, she lost 25 pounds in 10 and a half weeks. And he said there was no effort. We just listened to the cassette. So that's when he decided, he realized the power of rewiring our brain. So he does have self-talk for weight loss, believing in the incredible you, self-talk for self-esteem, financial success, relationships, quality of life, career achievement. He has come up with a whole lifetime library, and the information that he shares is all positive self-talk, so it rewires the brain.
And you know, and so I'm listening to all the categories, and my first thought was, okay, so because we all suffer from different things, how do you know which one is really the one affecting you then? You know what I mean? That's my first thought. I'm like, okay, yeah, I could listen to that one. I could listen, like, you know, because it seems to me it's so interconnected.
No, you're right. As a matter of fact, it's a whole lifetime library. Mm-hmm. But one of my clients just asked me yesterday what would help her husband who has an addiction. And so Dr. Shad actually answered my question, and he said for people with addiction, they would listen to health and fitness. They would listen, no, first self-esteem. Self-esteem first, the quality of life, and health and fitness, to listen to those three. And it's not like it's going to happen tomorrow, but you have to listen, you know, on a consistent basis to rewire the brain. I actually put my iPod in my car, and with the Bluetooth, it'll bring up programs while I'm driving.
Mm-hmm. So is this, and so just to make the clarification, because a lot of people will listen to what you're saying and say, is this like saying a mantra every day? Is this like what would be the difference or the non-difference from that?
Well, I guess you could consider it that, Wendy, but there are many different statements that he makes to the subconscious mind, so he's not repeating one statement over and over. He has a variety of statements, And when I'm listening, like in my car, you know, I find myself repeating them out loud because, again, what we tell ourselves becomes true. So actually he has this powerful program for little kids, and they actually do repeat it after. Actually, it's a bear. He has a little bear talking to little kids. And then the bear will make a statement, and then the bear waits for the children to say it afterwards. It's so cute.
It does sound
But his daughter was actually in our class, and she stood up and told us the story. He was a stepdad, so at age 10, she got into self-talk through him. And mm-hmm. she said when she was in junior high, everybody loved her. But when she got into high school, she had no friends, and I know it was because she knew who she was. She was a, you know what, she knew who she was and she felt confident, and I believe it intimidated other people. She said one day in the cafeteria, a boy stood up and he said, "How many people hate," and then mentioned her name. Everybody's hand went up in the cafeteria. Even a little boy that she used to play with when she was younger, she walked out and she said, "If I did not have self-talk, I don't know what I would have done." And she has a job where she already makes three figures and, you know, hundreds of thousands. And she's in her early 20s now. But see, she grew up with knowing who she was and feeling confident. So my goal now is to get into the schools because I want it to start young with kids. So I'm trying to get into some groups that, you know, like PTA groups and PTO groups, so I can talk to parents and say, wow, this is powerful. I believe kids with this positive self-talk, they won't be bullies. They won't be disrespectful. They won't get in trouble with the law. They won't fail in school. And they won't commit suicide. They won't get into drugs because they know who they are.
I noticed that my son takes Taekwondo, and they do actually a lot. Every belt has a philosophy. And I noticed that the kids, because they are trained and they do this, you know, the kids that stay with it, there's such a difference in them than the other kids that you meet because they're so trained and they're constantly told that they can achieve their dreams and to push themselves, you know, like all these good things that most kids don't hear as often as they do.
You are right. I mean, I grew up so shy. I was afraid of my own shadow. Mm-hmm. But that's programming, you know.
Right.
So we can change our life by listening to this self-talk. And it's just listening. It's not hard work. And Dr. Shad said, just listen for 10, 12 minutes a day. It's not like we have to listen like I do. I listen to it all night. But it's going into my subconscious mind.
And so
again, that is selftalk.tips. There's a whole library of things. It's just, it's amazing. And I know, again, it was divine order that I got involved in this because I want to change life for people.
And so when you, so just to add, just to recap, because we have about 10 minutes left. So when you have somebody who may be listening right now and they don't know if this is for them, you know, because, you know, I have a client that means that says something like, "I didn't believe the hokey stuff before," too. You know, she doesn't, you know what I mean? But if you have somebody in that mindset, because I think there is out there a mindset like that's their stuff or that's what they do, that won't work for me. How do you get through to that person or what advice do you have for that person? You know, is it for everybody, or do you still have to wait for them to kind of come over on them on their own that this is important, that this could really change their lives?
That's brilliant, Wendy. Really, I usually have a lot more women working with me than men, but I tell you, after I've worked with a woman. I recently had a lawyer, and he said, "I am so in the head that this is hard for me to believe." So I tell them, okay, I will give you 15 free minutes, and you can decide for yourself. And, Wendy, the stuff that comes up, you can't deny it. So So anybody that thinks, oh, I wonder if I should try this emotion code, body code, they can go to my website, empoweringchangeinyou.com, and connect with me, and I will give you a few minutes on the phone because, again, energy is energy. I can get in touch with their energy and just start working with their subconscious mind to release some of the priority things. And people are amazed at what shows up.
If you say your website one more time so everybody hears it. That's one thing.
thank you. It's empoweringchangeinyou.com.
Okay. And we have about 9 minutes left, so I have two questions a little bit off topic because I know you were in the book Women Living Consciously, if I'm saying the title correct, because it's part two. And so I do want you to talk about a little bit about your story and what that book was about, because it was top on Amazon and all of that good stuff when it came out. So tell people a little bit about that, and then I'll have one final question for you.
Well, my topic was all about divine intervention, because I've had one thing happen after another that I know it had to happen through spirit. One of the most powerful things that happened was when I got laid off. My daughter was in kindergarten. I was laid off with my best friend, but I didn't know everything was in divine order at that time, and I was angry because high school teachers were taking our place and they didn't want to teach elementary. Spirit told me to open the Bible and find out why I got laid off. I opened the Bible. I went to the Last Supper where Jesus said, "You don't understand now what I'm doing. Later, you'll understand." Well, the next year I was still laid off, and I ended up teaching in a Catholic school. I met a nun that taught me everything outside of the box of Catholicism, and I was so Catholic that these teachings would have to come from a nun or a priest. So she changed my life. That's when I knew everything's in divine order.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, you're so funny that you say that, because it has to be that right person. Because if it's not that right person, most of us are so, at least I know, I'm really thick-headed. So if it's not coming from the right person, they come in front of you at the right time.
It's true. And actually, when I moved from Michigan here to Jersey, immediately I met a nun. She came to me to learn the emotional freedom technique. And 85 years old, maybe 87, she connected with me because she is another nun outside the box. You just don't find that very often. And so we're really good friends because we can talk about things together that normally, you know, nuns just aren't willing to look at.
I have to tell you, and I don't know if you know the story, I'll tell you very quickly about it. Sean and I knew each other and had done work together prior to me moving to Louisville. It took me, you're going to laugh at this, talk about divine intervention, leaving Louisville, driving to New Jersey to drop off my son, going back, and then coming back to Louisville, then driving to Texas, spending a few days here and there with her. I really didn't spend time with her. At eWomen Network, the conference, to drive all the way back to New Jersey to pick up my son, go to an eWomen event, and talk to Sean after the eWomen event. This is all in a course of a week, to say, "Will you coach me?" And I had known her for 2 years.
Oh.
And that's how that all started. It was the most, and I always said that she's the only person who'd get me motivated to travel, because then I ended up going back to New Jersey just for her going away party, and then going to Arizona for one of her treatments. But it took all of that, because I'm a little hard-headed, Catherine, to
I love her. That story. Yeah. Well, I tell you, one time she came to me through a friend. We were here in my living room, and this one friend always happens to bring my sister through. And I said, "Oh, see if my sister has a message for me." And she goes, "No, but your friend Sean is here." I go, Sean, teach me how to be unconditional love the way you are. Well, that was on a Friday night. On Saturday, I was out with friends. On Sunday, Wendy, I woke up bawling. I was crying and crying. I thought, I don't even know why I'm crying. So I went to the emotion code to find out what's underneath all these tears. And I heard Sean say, unconditional love begins with loving yourself.
That's
how
amazing.
Powerful.
It is. And you know what? It's my final breakthrough when I was doing work with her. It's so funny that you say that while we were doing it. It was one of our last coaching sessions before she got sick. And, you know, we've remained friends, but it was like she said, I want you every day to tap your chest and tell yourself that you love yourself. And it took days and days and days of doing that before I finally broke and got it.
Yeah, I actually give my clients handouts. And one of the handouts is from Louise Hay, and Louise Hay said that the answer to solving all of our problems is loving ourselves. And she said to look in the mirror, look into our eyes, that's the windows of our soul, and tell ourselves, yeah, I love you, I'm good enough.
Right, and that you're worthy. And that was the other thing, and that you're worthy. And so, I have, that's amazing, because that's my connection with Sean, too, because she was probably the first person who has ever gotten through to me on that level, and it took months of, she'd say, okay, but you're talking in your head, what about your heart? And I'd say, blah, 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 and she's like, okay, so let's bring this back to your heart, and she had the patience with me, I tell you, because...
I know, she's such a powerful soul, and she's with all of us now, helping us.
Exactly. Well, we have about 3 minutes left. I do have one last question, and I asked a lot of my guests this, and it's kind of like my kind of trick question, but not. If you could describe your journey in one word of learning all of this, what would it be?
It would have to be divine intervention, because everything has been divinely inspired.
Yeah, I like that word. And I think that that's a good reminder of everybody. And I think really importantly, and you let me know if you agree with this, is that divine intervention happens all the time. We just don't see it.
Oh, my gosh, yes. There are so many times I didn't listen. And then I was like, oh, Catherine, you missed out. It's like trusting our heart and our gut.
Right. And, you know, I have a really short story. When I was younger, like I said, I was that rebel child. And I didn't listen to anybody. And I was usually walking around very angry when I was young. So I was with somebody in a car, and I was very upset. I can't remember. It was always something. This was in my 20s. And some sort of drama that seemed really important and made me angry at the time. And I realized the person I was with kept saying, Wendy, look up, look up. And I was so in it that if I didn't look at that moment, I would have missed the most beautiful rainbow I've ever seen in my life.
Oh.
And so that was my key. And I think it's important for everybody to find their key to say, if you're not, again, if you're walking around asleep, dreaming you're awake, you'll miss those moments to see that there's something right in front of you.
Yes, it's true, to listen when we're told something, or everybody doesn't hear, but you can feel it, usually in the solar plexus or in the heart area. It's like, okay, something's wrong here, and you feel it, and then just tune into that, and you will get a message. We all do. Like you say, we don't always listen.
Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
I appreciate sharing with you. You asked wonderful questions, Wendy.
Thank you. I finally getting some good practice on this, but I love it. I love it, and I'm so grateful you came on the show. Please, please, please tell all my listeners how to get in touch with you. I think if anybody that we've had on, we've had wonderful guests. Get in touch with Catherine, find out what's blocking you, and see how divine intervention is really in front of you. How do we get in touch with you, Catherine?
Well, I am on Facebook, Catherine Nyens, Nuyens. But again, go to my website, empoweringchangeinyou.com.
Well, thank you again. I'm so glad that we got to chat today. And, of course, you and I will stay in touch on Facebook, and I, you know, pop into the group every once in a while. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much. I was really honored to share with you, Wendy. Thanks for asking me.
You're welcome. Have a great day, and I will see all. You'll hear all of us. Hear me again next week. I'll see you then.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Love, Light, and Passion with Wendy Manganiello. Visit her at www.socialabundancemarketing.com.